It's good to be in the will of God. How many knows what a missionary is? Raise your hand. How many don't know what a missionary is? Anybody that does not know what a missionary is? Anybody would like to tell me what a missionary is? Anybody? What is a missionary? Stand up, son. Good. What do you think about that? Is that good? What kind of rating can we give him? All right. God bless you, son. Thank you. Okay. Just want to make sure that everybody understands that we're here on an endeavor. I'm on a conquest. And it's a purpose that God has planned and fulfilled for our life and all of us. Of course, you are missionaries here in this church. This is your Jerusalem. And you're serving the Lord here until God may call you outside of this area. You never know. God may lay upon his heart or her heart today somewhere to go in other parts of this country, and yea, maybe around the world. But Jesus Christ, no doubt, was the greatest missionary coming from heaven to this lost world to give us salvation. Amen? And truly, the apostles and right down through the ages of the local church has had the calling and the commission to carry the gospel to all ye into the world, to every nation, every creature. And so I certainly want today to share with you our calling and what the Lord has done to us and through us and our life. And can anyone guess where I'm from? I'm where? Where? Where was I born? Mars or Jupiter? Mars, you got it right. How'd you know it? Anybody want to guess what state I'm from? Texas. You saw me drive up on my mule, didn't you? All right, I'm from North Carolina. And we are North Carolinians and we are Americans, amen? And we cannot take that out of us. I'm full-breded American. And I cannot take that away from me. But I can subdue that. I can hide that. By the grace of God, I can become a Canadian. And I am 100% Canadian from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot today. And I want you to feel that. I want you to sense that. I want you to know that before I leave this door today. That I'm bred American. I'm a redneck. I'm a redneck of the first class. You put that down and don't never forget that. Amen. And I was born on a tobacco farm. I've ate tobacco worms and you name it. I'm a redneck. But God's called me to a people that I must become who they are. And I want you to understand that today, what a missionary is. Jesus had to become who we are to save us. All the incarnation of the flesh and likeness of sinful flesh, he became what we are to save us. And today I want to show you this slide presentation or this PowerPoint and give you a presentation or maybe an overview, a panorama of the work in Canada, and maybe to let you see a little bit about the country there. If you have a Bible, I would like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. While you're turning, I have a dear wife. We've been married 40 years. And we have two children. I have one of the best wives of any man. I could brag on my wife the rest of this time. I don't have time to do that. I have a dear wife. I might be in jail tomorrow, might be divorced tomorrow. But right now, this day, God's gave me a great family. And I keep trusting him day by day. Amen. What a wonderful marriage the Lord has blessed me with. And a great wife has labored beside me all of these years. Been so faithful and dedicated. Without her, I could not have accomplished anything for the Lord. I have a great son. He's in Alaska. He's a missionary. Married a girl from Buffalo, New York. And she's a Buffalo showing up. No, not really. No, she's a good girl. Amen. And there's no such thing as Yankees except you're from New York. Let's make that plain, okay? There's no such thing as Yankees in Indiana, Ohio, Massachusetts. It's just pure bred New York Yankees, okay? And but she's a precious woman, amen? And I thank God for her. She's born in Tonawanda, New York. Anybody know what Tonawanda is? Ever heard that place before? Okay, one person. Okay, and have a daughter. She is at home still with us serving in Canada, and we thank God for her. Amen. All right, we're going to show this and trust the Lord a blessing. And the brother said, hit play, and it'll take off. Let's see here. Staying at the Bethel Baptist Church, and the gift that your dear wife gave us, Pastor, yesterday. I've been eating Slim Jims. I feel like I'm getting slimmer all the time. Amen. So if I look like a striped pajama today, it's because I've been eating Slim Jims, okay? And but it is an honor today to be here and to be here to witness for Christ concerning Canada. We do want to share with you today the nature of our neighboring country and the great need that we have. Of course, every missionary cries out the great need, but we have been there for 27 years now. We are Canadian citizens, about 25 of those years, and we just have really become what they are to see them saved. And it takes that. I think any missionary ought to know the call of God, is my conviction, of course, and really stay with the stuff. You know, if we had the apostolic power, we could go from Greek all over Asia Minor and start churches like he did. But we don't have the apostolic call and gifts like the apostle has. So I think a missionary needs to give himself to the field and remain in the call that God's given him. And it takes a life to really to know a country and the background and the historical events is shaping that country into the mold by which we have the results today that we're confronting in this global empire of this world, that we can enter into that sect of people, that we can minister to them. And it takes a long time to do that. And thank God the Lord gave us 70 years to do it. Amen, because sometimes it takes 70 years to learn some people in this country how to win them, in this world, that is. And, of course, Canada is the second largest geographical country in the world, and it's just north of us in the USA. Has anyone ever been to Canada? Raise your hand if you have. Yeah, okay, Niagara Falls, you've been there. Anybody ever been to Toronto, Ontario? Anybody ever been to Quebec? Montreal, a few people here. All right, we first moved into Montreal, Quebec. We moved there in about 84, and as we moved into that province there, immediately the new laws was changing. They were taking all the U.S. signs down, all the English signs down, that is, and putting all French signs up on the highway and changing the textbooks, and we entered into a real crisis at that time. But the Lord allowed us to work with the work there and to see it started and get it soundly established, and we thank God for the privilege that we had there. But the government began to set in on us, and they were going to put us in jail. And we'd robbed a couple of banks, of course. No, not really. But what happened is that we had our children in the only Christian school in Montreal, and they made us take our children out of that Christian school, Todd and Jody, and they were only like 8 and 5 years old at the time. And then we began teaching them in our home, and then they came to our door and said, you cannot teach your children, your own children, you must submit them into a French immersion Catholic school. So I visited the school and gave them the benefit of the doubt, and it was a Jesuit priest teaching, and it was just a lewd school, and I just could not in conviction in my heart. And so we prayed about it, and we hated to see the possibility of having to leave Quebec. But they were going to put me in jail. And what they done is they came to our house and they gave my son a warrant to sue us. And my daughter, 5 years old, gave her a warrant to sue her mother and dad and take us to court because we would not submit our children to a French immersion Catholic school and we could not teach our children. That law was just changing. We entered right into that. But anyway, make a long story short, we packed our things overnight in a U-Haul and went right out of Canada, made a U-turn and came right back in at Champlain, Highway 87, and came coming into Quebec. And we could have said, well, the Lord has, used this encounter and go back to the States, but I knew God had put a call in my heart. I didn't know what he wanted, didn't know how he wanted. I didn't know if he wanted me to go back anything, but I was just trusting God step by step. We went right out to the border, cleared our status, came right back into Canada. I said, here we are, God, you called me to Canada. Where you want us to go? And we came right back in Quebec and drove that thing right up to Montreal. It looked like the truck just kept on going to the left. And we went across that Champlain big bridge there. And seeing Montreal to your right there, that great needy city and French people I love, weeping all the time. And God led us over to Ontario. And there, of course, the laws was quite different. And we could teach our own children. We used the ABECA program, of course, and in Florida there at the great school of the, I forget the name of the school. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about, the ABECA program. And they're graduating our home. But anyway, I ask you, Lord, to stop us where he wanted us to begin our first church. And you saw the church, the first church that we started, or the second church, on the slide today, or the program. And the Lord buried our truck up on the major highway, 401, right at Oshawa, Ontario. We could not go any farther in the snow. And that's where God wanted us to be at. And there was no churches around there, about 1 million people there in Whitby, Oshawa, and Port Perry, and Port Hope, and other smaller cities around that area. And we started our first church, and God used us. We knew nobody, had no contact, no encouragement of any kind, didn't know of any preachers, anyone, but the Lord began to burden our heart. And we preached to our children and to my wife and my two dogs for 2 years before we saw our first convert. Now, within a few weeks, we began to have people to come and visit us. And people fluctuated through the ministry for many years, several years, until we saw one person truly come to the Lord. It was a French man. We thank God for that. It was a blessing to my heart, of course. And God used this man to begin to make contacts and prospects, and we began to see God do a great work. Now, the country of Canada is a very liberal country. Now, I'm talking about overall, liberal everywhere you turn. In America, you can find conservatism. You can find good, strong churches. But in Canada, it's just hard to find a good, strong church. You would have to know where you're going to find. And there are some good men, but they're few and far apart. Now, as we go into this country, we must learn that it is a country that has never had any spillover of any revival from America. It's hard to understand that, why that is, we don't know, but we must take personal responsibility that God's called us to our Judea and our Samaritans right close door to America here. And as the pastor said last night, we've evangelized Jerusalem and the uttermost part of the world, but Judea and Samaria we have not. And of course, truly, Canada has or is our Samaritan and Judea if we are Jerusalem, America. And all that being said is that we've had three nationwide revivals in our past in America. We do one now. Haven't had one since the turn of the century. But none of that has moved over into Canada. We don't have forefathers. We don't have heritage in Canada. We don't have great men have come there from the States and started any kind of evangelical outreach, vibrant ministries that's penetrated the culture of Canada. That is sad also, too, to think of all the mega churches and the schools that we have and the great men of God that we've had in America, but no one has really had a call or a gift of a stirring in their heart to go to Canada or any kind of surge to penetrate that society, our neighboring people. And, of course, on my prayer card, I have the first and greatest commandment, to love thy neighbor as thyself, Canada. That's always baffled me through the years, still does today. It did our Lord when he said there's few laborers. But it is the truth right next door to us. People are going to hell by the millions, and we're not really doing anything about that to even try to make an effort to set up any kind of campaign. All the campaigning we've had around the world. Now, Benny Hinn can come up there and have 12 caskets on the platform up there, and he can raise 12 people from the dead. And you can have all these other men come up there. And I hope there's no Benny Hinn fans in today. But all that being said is that he can get his tens of thousands. And we down here, we have the truth, and we have the bread, we have the remedy, we have the answer, and we cannot muster up a few dozen people there to go and try to see what we can do to reach that people sitting in darkness waiting for an answer and has no other alternative but to be yielded to a socialist government, and the orthodoxy of the Greek church and the Catholic church has dominated their minds and kept them in subdued darkness and still groping for the wall, having no answer. And here we have the light, and we're hiding it somewhat under the bushel and under our bed, and we have the greatest light in the world. Why is it that it's shining so bright here? But when we begin to shine it towards the north, it jumps over the north and goes to other parts of the world, but it has not continued to shine from here into Canada. Now, that challenges me, and that breaks my heart, and I don't know all the reasons why, but certainly we want to do something about that. We must do something unless we stand before God and give an answer to our neighbor country here that we have not done anything really. I'm saying again, I'm not saying anything point blank, but really to move across that country and show there is something being done for Jesus Christ and get the attention. Now, there are methods and ways that we can go through all the paraphernalia of the socialist government up there and the Catholic Church by which we can present the gospel in that country. Not knowing and not learn about the historical background and the situation they're in darkness and how they're operated by the world power. May I say here that Canada is tapped into the Commonwealth of Europe. And they're doing well as far as economically where we all seem to be regressing here in America. And that is a great battle also too. But they're trying to bankrupt us in America. Now, I see a lot of what's going on in America because I'm on the outside looking on America. You inside, many times you can't see what's going on. And I hear a lot of things going in the world powers. Many times you don't see and hear also, too. And I see what's going on from other parts of the world through Canada and making the circuit around the world. But and trying to draw and will draw, ultimately, we believe, America into the one world power. But getting back to Canada, we have a place there that's dominated by the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of the devil. Satan sets in that place up there, and it's a very idol-worshiping country. Now, for that to be said, you think, well, preacher, you know, we don't think that they're beating drums and dancing around false gods and stones like they do in Africa. But spiritually speaking, that is an idol-worshiping country up there in Canada. You can go in just about every home. They have their idols set up. They have their little saints there. They have in their cars, in their backyards. They have crosses. And they have Virgin Mary there and baby Jesus. And all their relics and all of their rites and everything is with them just about everywhere they go. Now, in Quebec, of course, about 98% Catholic. In Ontario, about 65-75%. And all that, of course, brings a real challenge to us as we go there to approach that country with the socialized system that we have also. Now, this system that we have, and of course, you don't know if you never live outside of America in a socialized country, you don't know what it is to live in that kind of a situation. But every day in my life, I get up, I feel like I'm on a surveillance. I feel like I got a big eyeball looking at me every step I make. And that's the way that people are in Canada. The government has such control of their life. And their very thoughts almost is penetrated and calibrated by that system there in Canada. Their people's almost like robots. They're walking around, and you can walk down the streets of Toronto. I promise you, I challenge you. You come, you walk down the streets of Toronto, and I promise you, in 1 year, if you have one person that will look up at you and smile at you or say good day or have a great day or good morning, how do you do, you will be having a miracle taking place. That people up there is so secluded. They're so cut in, closed in their own life, their own little world. They are singularly themselves. They have no part of the body of Canada or the society or working together or having any effort or any push forward towards anything of seeing anything but themselves of doing exactly what the government wants them to do. And that is to be manipulated and be ahead and be a person there and to be controlled and forced to become all that would bring an empire to that country and help it to progress on with the rest of the world. Now, I see that, I feel that. It takes a lot of prayer to keep me from entering into that control, but yet I have to live in that. Every day I have to readjust my mind that I'm in Canada, that I'm not in America. I have to, in prayer, ask God to help me to enter into that spirit of that country, but yet keep the spirit of Christ in my heart and minister the gospel on the plateau where they are sitting and controlled by that country. Now, I'm talking about things that probably you've never heard of before. And the reason why, I told the pastor last night, I said, preacher, you've probably never heard of a missionary staying in Canada long enough to come into America to tell you what's going on there. But I've been there a long time. God's kept us there. We've gone through many trials at the stake, and they're held there, and God has made me that I might be able to see what's going on to some degree. Now, I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting. God knows I'm nothing today, and I have done nothing today save in the grace of God. Make that very plain today, amen? Say amen right there. Now, but it is a fact that God's called us to go into all the world. If God's called us to go, He's provided every need to go and to see that people saved. We call ourselves a great nation, evangelical, a mission to society and churches, and have a burden. Let's go get the job done. Let's do it. Let's go and see what needs to be done and get the job finished for Christ, because it is an unfinished task. And Jesus has done His part, and He has not left us alone. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost, the Bible. We have the King James Bible. We have the grace of God, and we have praying saints, and we have the church. We have the greatest ministry in the world. We have the greatest constitution, the institution in the world. Why can't we get it done? And I'm encouraged. I'm not discouraged. After 27 years, I'm more encouraged than I ever have been. There's precious, precious tens of thousands of millions of people there sitting, waiting to be saved for someone to tell them. Now, we got to get from here to there. Now, we send Bibles, friend, over across the waters, and we need Bibles in Canada. Most people don't own a copy of the Word of God. But the best thing you can do is send a preacher with a Bible under his arm. That's the Word of God. That's the way that God's planned it to be. How can they hear, well, without a preacher? And so send the Bible with a preacher. Let a preacher be right there before them, live before them, around them, and become who they are. Now, we've been attacked on many angles to discourage us, defeat us. And I believe a man that stands true to the Word of God, he's going to be attacked. And you're not going to bring light. You're not going to exemplify the cross. You're not going to exalt Christ without being attacked by the devil. And you better be prepared if you come to Canada as a missionary. You better know what's going on, because things are going to hit you. And your wife's going to say, let's get out of here. Your children are going to rampage and they're going to run. Or you're going to want to take a gun to your head or whatever. But I'm just saying this. And I'm being serious today. I'm being point blank, okay? Because I've seen so many missionaries come there. I've seen some divorce. And I've seen some leave their house and their homes and their children go prodigal. And it's because they're in a situation in Canada, they do not know what to do with themselves. They don't want to be faced in America, their churches, and they don't want to be shamed. They want to do something for God, but yet they don't know how to do it. And what a crippling condition that is. And many of these has come from some of the greatest of our Bible colleges here in America. Now, my friend, I went to 4 years and one of the greatest Bible colleges in all the world. But my Bible college has done nothing to help me to minister to the people in Canada. Now, you understand what I'm saying here. I'm not disgracing my Bible college. But my friend, School of Learning is not going to help you on the campaign to win souls in Canada. It's going to take the Holy Ghost. It's going to take a yielded heart. It's going to take the blood of Christ. It's going to take the grace of God. And it's going to take praying saints around you. It's going to take a determined heart and a yielded soul that is willing to do what God wants him to do and see the work fulfilled, that Jesus may live in that individual and through that family to reach that people. I thank God for my church. I thank God for Baptists. Let me say this to you. Take your Bibles and open up very quickly here. 1 Corinthians, let me get here, please, if I can. I don't have a lot of time here. Now, my life's been threatened several times by Jesuit priests. They're vicious. They hate us. They absolutely hate us. They put my picture in the paper. They sick the law of my home to get me arrested, take me down, handprint, fingerprint, and put my name, the revenue, to sick them on me, have to deal with that thing, get lawyers, and of course, I have been thrown down by priests. I had knives to my neck by priests and the Catholic members and bishops. I've been in through some battles because of the gospel. By winning some of the members of the Catholic Church and to see them save and grow and to become called to preach some of these and the witness and reflection they have upon the Catholic Church in these areas, there will be an attack. And may God help us. But anyway, all that being said, the Lord has, as Paul says, saved me, amen, and delivered me from them all so far. And I thank God for that. But to show you that we are in a battle. Now, count is a very lewd place. We have places up there that's, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so lewd. The things that we see, we hear, and we, of course, we see men walking down the street with men kissing and hugging. Women, you know, it's very acceptable up there. Getting married, it began up there all out full blast two or three years ago, maybe 5 years ago, came down here in New York, Massachusetts, out to California, back around now. And but most of our sin that we have in America has come from Canada. Now you listen. It's came from Europe, Asia Minor to Canada, like the Beach Boys did and the Beatles, and come right down into Canada, right from Canada, right down into America. And the reason why that cycle is still going, many of our 9/11 men that sent those planes to fall on America, or several of them did, came from Canada. And it's much easier to get into Canada. They accept anybody anywhere in the world. Did you know I can go as a Canadian citizen to any communist country in the world and be accepted, but you can't as an American? All I got to show is my citizenship. They open their arms up to me, but you can't do that. They hate Americans. If I were to go into this world where they hate Americans, I say, I'm a Canadian. I'm not an American. They say, well, you talk like a redneck from North Carolina. Well, I said, I'm not. I'm a Canadian. Here's my papers, amen. Well, I'm not being spared, you know what I mean? Anyway, but that's the way it is in the world from Canada view. And that's the way it's going to be until Jesus comes back. I don't see no turning back. But we've had a lot of people saved. We've had several hundreds of people saved through the years. And I've ordained men. We've started churches. And we've helped start churches. A lot of our people, when they get saved, they get beat up by the Catholic priests. Homes destroyed. Cars destroyed. Lose their jobs. Now, you've heard this thing of losing everything. Well, that's what happens in Canada. Not everybody. But there's a number that really the Catholic Church attacks. We brought people into our home to live as much as 4 and 5 years have lost everything. Okay? Because they got saved and they grow and they lose and their family. Now, the people in Canada is very family-oriented Catholic background. So when you move out of the Catholic Church, whether you're faithful, good Catholic or not, you still lose your family. You lose your job. And they have power to do that. You lose maybe your wife or your husband, your spouse. And so that's the situation there. Okay? But we invite you to come. Your preacher said he'll come. We need your help. We're down here to try to get a few churches to stand with us and to go with us and campaign that country up there and see the Lord do great things for his honor and glory. Now, I wish we had an hour and a half just to talk and get you to ask questions, because I have a lot I like to share and tell you, because I won't reframe anything. There are men up there won't tell you what I tell you because it will cost their ministry and it will cost their reputation. Well, I lost my reputation a long time ago, and I'm not worried about my reputation. I lost my reputation to the foot of the cross, amen? And the blood of Jesus made me a militant for him. And that's all. I'm not being smart when I say that. But we don't have educated churches. We don't have the churches I've started. There's not big administrating churches and schools. And so I don't have a lot to lose anyway. We do have soul winning churches. And we do have many Bible colleges. And we do try to teach our children in our home. We don't have, you know, the big mega churches that some of these men, and we have very few of them. And of course, over the whole country, we only have about 125 to 135 independent Baptist churches in the whole country of Canada. Now, in Toronto, there, 3 million people, we do not have one established, strong Baptist church of any kind there. The Southern Baptists have no churches there in Canada that I know of. I've called the main office, head office, and they've never been able to do anything there. We have a few American Baptists. We have a few Fellowship Baptists up there, very social, liberal there. But as far as our kind of breed of people, there's none established. Now, in Toronto, around that city, you have 4 to 6 million people, and we have 1 per million around that city as far as a church. Now, when we say a church up there, it could be in a home, it could be 10 people, it could be 20 people, but we don't have large churches in Toronto. Probably 10, 15, 20, 30, maybe 40 to most. And it's only a few. Now, in Toronto itself, we have a few struggling works that's been there for years and years but have never been able to be established. And because of that, they've never been able to reach and penetrate that city. They've not been grounded. They are men that have been taught. They don't know what to do. I've been trying to help some of these men. Some you can help, some you can't. But we have that kind of situation. Now, there's so many needs. Now, I have 5 minutes left. Did you say 25 past? I have no time left. I have no time to get into the Bible. I'm sorry? All right, let's look at these scriptures very quickly here. Chapter 9, verse number 19, very quickly. In verse 18, underscore where it says the gospel of Christ. You see that there? Underscore that where you pen. Now keep it in mind. In verse 19, for though I be free from all men. Now today, you don't have to soul win. You don't have to come to church if you don't want to. If you want to live like you want to in self, you're free from all men. You don't have to be a soul winner. I mean, of course we want you to be. God, for God's grace and God's honor, may God help you not to be anything but a witness for Jesus. But Paul is saying here, we are free men today by the grace of God, and we're going to go to heaven if we're saved. Now that's an important thing that we need to lay down and understand, that we don't have to do it if we don't want to. But how can you look and stand and see Christ on the cross bleeding for you in your place, saving your poor pitiful soul, and you not want to serve and be a bond slave for him? If you can walk away from Calvary, friend, and then we look at you and question you, where you are, what you are, and where you're headed to in this world. Now look here, the Bible says, though I be free from all men. Number one, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. You're free today in the grace of God if you're saved. But Paul goes on and says, but he says here, yet have I made myself. Now look here, please. Paul says, I made myself. You have something to do about this. You don't have to, but if you know anything about the Lord, the Bible, the grace of God, the power of God in your life, the Bible says you will make preparation to serve Christ, to love him, to honor him, to recognize him in your life, through your life, to others in this world. He says, I made myself servant unto all. I had a black man up there just a few weeks ago in Canada, came to me and said, preacher, I've been up here and I helped him get into Canada and provided a lot for him. And he says, I've been serving here for 12 years. I've been trying to make these people Baptists ever since I've been here. Listen, folks, I'm Baptist all the way through. I was taught with Dr. Cycle, Baptist distinctives, and I know what a Baptist is. But friend, listen, you can't come to Canada and make people Baptist and think that's going to make people save and that's going to build a church. We must become to be servants to that people, friend. Servants. We are servants today. We ought to be yielded and serve their needs, their heart, their dying, their soul, where they are, and bring them the gospel to the level that they're stooped in sin and degradation in that world. Now look here, please. Servants, he said, I learned to be a servant. And what a liberty, what a freedom I've got. And I've seen many men come up there and begin to command people, you do this, you do that. And if we're going to have a church, you're going to have to do that. Friend, that won't get it done. Amen. Leave your church manual behind. You don't need that. You got the King James Bible and you got the Holy Ghost. Just get down, get down, get down and become to be a servant. And you'll see God use you. Now look here, please. Look here. The Bible here says, that servant unto all kinds of people, black, white, Indian. We've had Germans saved, we've had Russians saved, we've had Jews saved. Think about what we had to do to become who they are to win them. Look here, please. Unto all, that I might gain the more their confidence, their belief that I really love, and I may gain the more. You see, it's something more than we can do, and it's about you and I and about ourselves and what we're going to do about forgetting about who we are. Now look here, please. And unto the Jews I became, here I am, I became a Canadian, that I might gain the Canadians. The Bible says here in the Word of God, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. They are under certain powers and control through that system there, and I had to be subdued and immersed into that system. Until I did, they didn't know me, didn't know who I was. I couldn't relate to them. I couldn't talk to them. They would not listen to me until I was who they were. Are you listening? I had to be a Canadian. We got a missionary brother out of our church down in Tamanaco Baptist Church over there in Sahara, does it? He wears a dress every day, his life, like a woman over in America, to be able to minister to that people over there in Sahara Desert. Now, many of us, we wouldn't do that, would we? We in our own self, we would never do that. Well, you would never be a servant either. Maybe it could be the reason why some of the people right around here is even not saved, us because somebody needs to become that which somebody is in deep sin, deep harassment of the devil here, to become who they are, where they are, and be able to translate the gospel in the grace of God. Now, look here, please. To them that are without the law, being not without the law to God, I wish I could get in this, but under the law to Christ, which is the love of Christ, not in the law of God of judgment and the Ten Commandments, but under the grace of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might gain the weak. Weak in sin, weak in rejection, weak in ignorance, friend, that I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means may save some. And friend, and this I do for the gospel. This I do for the gospel. Father, honor your word today, the time we've had to be in this great church. Bless Brother Ross and this people. May our hearts today be challenged, charged, Lord, and become to be the servant that we need to be as you've sent us out in this world. For Jesus, he's a great Savior. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much today.